The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
And coming up in 10 minutes, Ryan Clark will join me to tell me who won the Carson Wentz trade. Either he agrees with me and he knows what he's talking about, or he's out of his mind. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. You know, I can't even pronounce my own name, but I'm reading fast. Kellerman. I dropped the R. But it sounds like a nerd. Kellerman. Who could stop and do all this? The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. I want to hear from you. I'm going to take your Lakers calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Nets fans cocky today, Lakers fans. How you feeling about your Lakers? I know no AD, but you're going to have to find 120 points at least tonight to beat the Nets. You got those points in that team? Speaking of the Lakers, the NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tomorrow night as LeBron and the Lakers host Butler and the Heat, presented by Indeed. By the way, Miami Heat, one of these teams like the Dallas Mavericks. They're so underperforming, but it's in there somewhere. It's in that team somewhere. If that team figures it out, they're going to be a problem. Coverage begins, anyway, of the Lakers Heat at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Now, my GOAT debate, my GOAT of all GOATs. NFL.com had a list, and of course, since it's NFL.com, they put Tom Brady as number one on the GOAT of all GOATs list. Absurd. It's indefensible. It's non-thinking. Tom Brady cannot be considered for number one spot. I'll explain it in a second. Number two, they had Michael Jordan. Number three, Tiger Woods. Stop. Gretzky was a... No. Let me explain the list. First of all, why can't... First, I'll tell you the list, then I'll tell you why it's this way. Number one is Michael Jordan. Number two is actually Babe Ruth. Number three is Muhammad Ali. Number four is Serena Williams. And number five is Tom Brady. I think Brady squeaks in at five. And now let me explain what this is about. Why can't Brady be number one? A lot of people have Bill Russell in the top five. Also can't be. But let's start with Brady. Tom Brady was usually correctly not considered the best player in the game most seasons of his career. The accomplishments over the course of his career are amazing. And considering how excellent he's been for how long and how and the leadership of qualities and his decision-making ability and his ability to stay healthy, he only really missed one season, where, by the way, the Patriots won 11 games, though they missed the playoffs. But it adds up. You have to say a guy, seven championships in the NFL, seven Super Bowls in 20 years. It's amazing. But how many years did you look at Brady and say, that's the best player in the league? Or did anyone think that? A handful, maybe. Maybe. Same thing with Bill Russell, by the way. Bill Russell was an all-time great, 21-0 in deciding games in his career, amateur and pro. He's just a winner. But like Tom Brady, played on a lot of great teams. He also played in a league where there were eight teams. So you win a championship. It has to be discounted. And Bill Russell was amazing. Great, an all-time great. Maybe the greatest center ever. You could argue it. But the GOAT of all GOATs? Guys, Yogi Berra, the Yankees catcher, in the late 40s through early 60s, Yogi Berra played like 18 years, like a long time, like Tom Brady and Bill Russell, right, for their sports. He won 10 World Series. 10! That's Bill Russell territory. It's more than Tom Brady. He hit cleanup in the lineup, so he was a major cog in that offense when cleanup was the glamour spot. He played catcher, like the way Bill Russell has all that defensive value. A catcher in baseball has a tremendous amount of defensive value, if especially you can establish he's making the pitchers better. Every pitcher who got traded to the Yankees in those days got better, had their career years with Yogi Berra calling the game and catching him. He had tremendous defensive value. And he won three MVPs. Three different times he was considered the best player in baseball. By the way, two other times, he came in second. He also came in third. He also came in fourth. And he made, I don't know, 15 All-Star, a ton of All-Star games. But three MVPs. That's comparable to Brady and Bill Russell. Same sort of thing. The winningest player ever on the most championships ever, who was off like several times, more than twice, the MVP of the whole league, who had a tremendous influence on the outcome of the game. In Bill Russell's case, it was defense. In Tom Brady's case, it's leadership on the offense. In Yogi Berra's case, it's calling the game. And hit cleanup like right in the middle of everything. Does anyone consider Yogi Berra the GOAT of baseball? Of course not. Arguably, he's a GOAT of catchers. Just like arguably, Bill Russell is the GOAT at center. And Tom Brady at this point is the GOAT at quarterback. Which is why I give Brady the nod over Russell or Yogi Berra. Right? I mean, Berra's not really in the conversation. Because in baseball, we correctly understand it really is a team effort. And it really is. But it is in these other sports, too. At any rate, the Yogi Berra example should show you why Bill Russell's not GOAT of all GOATs? Or Tom Brady? Really? You should at least be considered usually the very best player in your sport to be the GOAT of all GOATs. Most years, that wasn't Brady. Okay, now, was it Michael Jordan? Yeah. Michael Jordan spent 10 seasons as the best player who ever lived. Like, from his third season on, when he averaged 37 points in a league that was hard to do that in, right? And then the next year, averaged 32-8-8, but he didn't play with a single other All-Star. And the first time he played with an All-Star was Pippen's first All-Star game, where Pippen, look at all the numbers, got better the next year. In other words, he was pre-prime, but he was an All-Star. They went 7 games with the defending champ Pistons and lost because Pippen had a migraine. So he scored 2 points in 40 minutes. In other words, once again, not an All-Star. Can't do it by yourself. The next year, Jordan never again didn't win the championship in under 7 games. He is the winningest winner. He is the greatest of the players. He has the strongest brand, right? He's the GOAT. Now, Babe Ruth. Well, he didn't play in an integrated league, and that's true. And that counts against him. It discounts his accomplishments. However, Babe Ruth was the greatest hitter ever in any league ever until Barry Bonds came around and maybe tied him. Or maybe slightly past him, maybe. But was Barry Bonds also the best pitcher in the league? Because Babe Ruth was also the best pitcher in the league. And he was also one of the greatest clutch postseason pitchers of all time. He had the consecutive scoreless inning streak in the World Series. He held that for longer than he held the home run title. So, like, I understand, well, Satchel Paige and Josh Gibson, the Negro Leagues catcher, and a lot of players who played in an integrated era, I get it. And so Ruth is discounted. But even with a discount, he's the greatest baseball player of all time. Because no one in any high league ever did what he did. Hit like that and pitch like, played offense and defense like that in baseball? No one came close. So even when you discount Ruth, he's way, way, way up there in the GOAT of all GOATs debate. Muhammad Ali. Well, Sugar Ray Robinson was better pound for pound than Ali, and that's true. But Sugar Ray Robinson's a welterweight. Muhammad Ali's a heavyweight. He didn't have to compete. Like, it's like saying, well, Doug Flutie, pound for pound, is a better quarterback than Tom Brady. You don't stratify according to size in football. Right? If you're small, you still got to compete against the big guys. But in boxing, you do. So that allows Sugar Ray Robinson to be in the conversation. Because let me tell you something. If little welterweight Sugar Ray Robinson fought heavyweight Muhammad Ali, he'd get whooped immediately. In other words, in a fight, Ali beats him. Ali's a better boxer because he's bigger. But boxing, they say, well, pound for pound, otherwise the small guys don't have a chance. That should count against Ali? No. And then obviously, you know, impact off the court. Ali's the greatest heavyweight champion ever. And social, but even social impact aside, just what he did in boxing. That's number three. Number four, Serena. She has almost the most single titles ever. She has almost the most weeks spent at number one ever, and her peak is universally recognized as the highest peak ever attained. And usually, most years, she's the best in her sport. And then five, Tom Brady, because Yogi Berra and Bill Russell, no doubt about it, but Bill Russell was playing in a league with 8 teams. And Yogi Berra was unbelievably great, but it's not considered in the argument for greatest baseball player of all time. Tom Brady is. He's a quarterback. He's got 7 rings. He's played 20 years. He does make the top 5 GOAT of all GOATs. Barely. But to put him number one, shame on you. And to put Tiger in the top 5 when Jack Nicklaus has more majors, more second place finishes in majors, more third place finishes in majors. You got to at least be the GOAT of your own sport to be the GOAT of all GOATs. at least in your own sport. No, the correct list is Jordan 1, Ruth 2, Muhammad Ali 3, Serena 4, I'll give Tom Brady 5. That's your list. 888-SAY-ESPN. Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. By the way, the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Ryan Clark.
Philadelphia has agreed to trade Carson Wentz to the Colts.
Last year with Phillip Rivers at quarterback, they had a top 10 defense and a top 10 offense.
They're legit Super Bowl contenders for this coming season.
ESPN NFL analyst extraordinaire Ryan Clark joins me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. What's going on, RC?
What's up, my man? How you doing, brother?
Doing well. Always doing well when you join the show. Is there a winner from the Carson Wentz trade, Ryan?
Well, shoot, I'm going to tell you what. I think both teams win. And I know it's hard to say that, but I think you and I both agree that the Eagles win by not having him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles win by clearing the locker room of what his personality was, of what some of his characteristic traits began to be once he was benched. And then if you look on the other side, if you're the Indianapolis Colts, what you're hoping is that your team can level out the lows of Carson Wentz, some of the lows that we saw in the second half of games when he's trying to play hero ball. And I'm going to be honest with you, Max. I think some of the hero ball we've seen him try to play when he was trying to get his own statue in Philadelphia to put right alongside Nick Foles. Mm-hmm. I think that was always an issue for him. I think he was always trying to overcome that demon or overcome that ghost. And I think now being in Indianapolis, some of those things go away, and you hope that he can make some of those critical situational football play moments that Phillip Rivers didn't make last year. And you're looking at a team that took, you know, the Buffalo Bills down to the 2-minute warning and had an opportunity to win that game, a team that won 11 football games last year. And so their hopes is that Carson Wentz having a little bit of that number 2 overall pick ability still can elevate them above that this year.
Yeah, I mean, if Reich can fix them, then they do get a win. But he also has to stay healthy. He hasn't been good at that either. But otherwise, yes, that would. But that's a lot of ifs. If he can fix them, if he can stay healthy, then maybe they can do better than they did with Phillip Rivers, who was ancient at the time. Meantime, the Eagles get out of that deal. They got to take that big cap hit now, but then they're out of the deal. They get a third round pick this year and a second round at least pick next year, meaning they have 4 picks in the top 100 this year. Ryan, they either, you know, bring in a veteran to help Jalen Hurts out, to compete with Jalen Hurts and put those 4 draft picks around him, or if they really like someone like maybe Justin Fields who falls to them, they can draft another quarterback, or they can give Hurts a good look this year doing the first option, and then if they don't like what they see, they have extra draft capital next year to go grab a quarterback. They're looking pretty good out of this. I mean, not look, they drafted him 2nd overall. They packaged a lot of draft capital to move up to 2 to get him. They signed him to a big contract. All that was not great ideas, you know? But at this point, they come out of it pretty clean considering what they were up against.
No, I think they do. You know, obviously, you have to carry some of that cap number, so that truly hurts you if you're the Philadelphia Eagles. But now you're in a position to move forward with your new head coach and figure out your quarterback room without being handicapped, without being handcuffed to Carson Wentz. And I think that was important. Now, you get to this draft. Now, one, I think Justin Fields is being extremely underrated for some of his play this year. You know, we could see him be one of those guys that gets to the league and actually outplays his draft status or his draft pick. And then now, if he's not there, though, and like you said, Max, you're not in love with whoever's there at 6, pick a Jalen Waddle, pick a Ja'Marr Chase, pick a Devontae Smith, add a weapon to that offense, and play with someone who elevated your team from being where the New York Jets were per play in the season to where the New Orleans Saints were.
In other words, Jalen Hurts, when Carson Wentz was the quarterback, their offense was basically the New York Jets. And when Jalen Hurts was the quarterback, their offense was basically who?
The New Orleans Saints.
The New Orleans Saints. Okay, that's a big difference. Let me ask you this, because I think we're on the same page with Carson Wentz. You've said, I heard you on on, I think it was Get Up this morning. You're all over the place. Talking about, or maybe I saw it on social media, you talking to Greeny, and now other people are coming out and saying, hey, I don't know about Trevor Lawrence. Maybe he's not as good as everyone says. And by the way, Ryan, when we compare him to people, we're like a generational prospect like the last one was Andrew Luck. And by the way, Andrew Luck was an excellent quarterback. He wasn't the best quarterback to come out of the draft in the last 10 years. So just because you're a top prospect doesn't mean you're good. Okay, so you've been saying this for a long time. In fact, you remind people that you've been saying it for a long time, that Trevor Lawrence is not quite even the prospect that people think he is. So tell me about Lawrence, Wilson, Fields. How much separates them?
You know, I think Lawrence is going to be the first guy and should be the first guy, Max, because his floor is probably the highest. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that if you get the bottom of who he is, you could still probably win football games, and he'll be a solid and good football player in the NFL. But I don't necessarily see him as a can't-miss prospect. When you're talking about drafting a guy like Luck, or you're saying you're comparing him to John Elway, you're talking Super Bowl winner, you're talking franchise quarterback. Obviously, Luck decided to retire. Franchise quarterback for over a decade, day one starter. Those are all the things you say when you look at that type of talk. I don't see Trevor Lawrence as that guy. I don't see him as can't miss. And Max, I'll ask you this because people on Twitter seem to think I'm crazy by saying this. They point to, you know, Trevor Lawrence and say that he's the best quarterback that Clemson's ever had, right? That's what Dabo Swinney even said. When I watched Deshaun Watson in two college football playoff games against the Alabama Crimson,
first one against Alabama, he was the best guy on the field the first time. Yep. He made it an interesting game.
You absolutely knew that Deshaun Watson was that guy. I haven't seen that type of play for Trevor Lawrence. I think he reached his height in the college football championship year one.
Right, okay, and let's stop right there for a second, Ryan. I get what you're saying. In other words, Deshaun Watson made it to two national title games. Even when he lost, he was clearly the best player on the field both times. That's not Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence has been outplayed in that situation. But I think part of it is this. When we start imagining trajectory, right, and a guy comes along and does it very early, it captures our imagination differently. And Trevor Lawrence came and whooped up on Alabama in a way we have never seen. Like Deshaun Watson beat them by the skin of his teeth. Trevor Lawrence stepped out of nowhere. Like Trevor Lawrence was young and did it better than Deshaun Watson. At least the final score said so, right? And it was never a ball game. So I think that's when we start going like, damn, he's already past where Deshaun Watson was. But that doesn't mean he's going to continue to progress that way. Deshaun Watson got better and better and better. Lawrence does not seem to have gotten better from that moment. But I think that's why people feel that way. That's my analysis anyway.
Yeah, no question, Max. It's love at first sight, right? And many times you can't forget what that initial feeling was like. So when we met him, when he was introduced to us, it was like, oh my God, at this age, to be able to do this, to dominate a Nick Saban defense in this way, this is it. This is the dude. But we never saw that continued progression of dominance. And now if we're going to take what he did against Wake Forest and what he's done against the NC States and the Syracuses, then we also got to look at what a guy like Zach Wilson was able to do against talent or against teams that are very similar to that. And so I think that when we start to talk about Trevor Lawrence, I'm not saying poo-poo him. I'm not saying that he won't be a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback in the NFL. What I'm saying is I don't believe him to be the transcendent, can't-miss talent that many has made him out to be.
Ryan, think about these recent drafts. In that draft with Sam Darnold, who was supposed to go first but wound up, you know, like Baker went ahead of him, Josh Allen was the third quarterback taken. He's better than both of them. He's better than both of them, let's be honest. When you look at Justin Herbert, third quarterback taken, right? Best quarterback in that draft so far. I mean, Joe Burrow's been excellent. Justin Herbert's the best quarterback in that draft, taken third. Someone's going to get a steal with Justin Fields. Someone's about to. Like, Zach Wilson is going to go maybe second overall, right? Trevor Lawrence, first overall. Justin Fields might slip to, like, sixth or something like that. And if that dude is available at that number, he is. Who's he most compared to? Dak Prescott with a higher ceiling. Oh, my God. Someone's going to steal that guy.
No, absolutely. And I think that's kind of what's starting to happen. And, you know, I talked about it a little bit earlier. When you look at Justin Fields and what he was as a sophomore. Now, I've been a huge fan from the beginning. And part of why I've always been a Justin Fields fan and not as high on Trevor Lawrence or not thinking there was such a separation was because I saw them before college and I watched them throw in person. And I was like, man, these dudes are really close in the type of talent or type of ceiling you can have. But if you're telling me we're going to get Dak Prescott, but faster, we're going to get Dak Prescott, but with a stronger arm, I think people jump at that opportunity. And that's what a lot of people, including myself, think Justin Fields will be.
Can I interest anyone in a Daniel Jones to move into the sixth slot? Is that possible?
You keep wishing, bro. You keep wishing.
Oh, the Giants are married to that dude. Oh, help me. Somebody help me. I'm rooting for Daniel Jones, but there's no improvement between years one and years two. And meantime, I'm looking at a guy like Justin. It took him sixth in the draft. I'm looking at Justin Fields. I'm thinking the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be able to take this guy maybe with the sixth pick in the draft. Come on. The great Ryan Clark, ladies and gentlemen, real quick before I let you go, like in 20 seconds, Roethlisberger, you give him one more year at a reduced rate or do you move on this year?
I think you move on this year. I think you understand that he can't win you a championship. And so now the best thing to do is figure out what's the most likely way to get back to a championship after moving on from Ben Roethlisberger. And I think that's what Kevin Colbert has to figure out.
That's out of the mouth of a guy who played with him, who won championship with him, the great Ryan Clark, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN NFL analyst on the Goodyear Hotline. Thanks, as always, RC.
The college, my man, have a good one.
Appreciate it. The college basketball season is heating up, and that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of the Wooden Award late season top 20 nominees to watch as this season rolls on. Gonzaga's Corey Kispert dropped 20 points to lead the undefeated Zags to an 87-65 win over St. Mary's. The John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. Coming up, Nets are on a hot streak. But the Bucks aren't. What is going on with Giannis and the Bucks? Plus, your calls on my GOAT rankings. The best team in sports start with great talent. But finding the right people can be a challenge. When it comes to hiring, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team and fast. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/max, ZipRecruiter.com/MAX. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN+. Coming up in 15 minutes, Anthony Davis is out for 4 weeks. But should it be longer? I'll give you a hint. The answer rhymes with yes. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. The NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in Sunday as Zion and the Pelicans host Jaylen Brown and the Celtics, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Still upset about my GOAT rankings? The NFL.com ridiculously, laughably put Tom Brady number one, who spent very few years of his career as the absolute best in the sport, universally recognized. Unlike GOAT of all GOATs, it's like Michael Jordan. Every year, everyone knew he was the best, and he was. And the stats in retrospect, you know, and the tape proves it. Not to mention the championships and all that. By the way, I want to take some calls on this. People want to talk about that. Tiger shouldn't be in the top five. If he's not the GOAT of his own sport, Nicklaus has more majors wins, more second and third place finishes. So how, if you're not the GOAT in your own sport, how are you the GOAT? How are you even in the GOAT discussion? Bill Russell, I know he won all these championships and he was great under pressure, but 8 teams in the league. And by the way, Yogi Berra won championships like Bill Russell. And like Bill Russell, 3-time MVP, twice finished second MVP, hit cleanup, was a great catcher, called a great game. All the pitchers that came to the Yankees got better. Why isn't he in the GOAT discussion? Because he's not. Yogi Berra, no one considers him the greatest baseball player of all time or in the GOAT of all GOATs discussion. If you want to put Bill Russell and Tom Brady in like the leader of all leaders discussion or the winner of all winners, fine. But GOAT of all GOATs? It's Michael Jordan. It ain't that hard. Babe Ruth is in there. Well, it wasn't integrated. That's true. Discount him for that. But as you're discounting him, realize he hit like Barry Bonds and pitched like Sandy Koufax. There's no one who ever played in a very high league anywhere in the world who was ever as nearly as great a hitter and nearly as great a pitcher as Babe Ruth. Muhammad Ali, Serena, Tom Brady, you want to put him at five? Okay. A lot of responsibility at the quarterback position. Patrick in North Dakota, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, thanks for taking my call. Hart Trophy, Wayne Gretzky won it 9 times for the most valuable player. He also has the most goals, assists, and points of any player ever.
Yeah.
I feel like you're disrespecting him. Why is he not in your top
five? Okay, that's a good question. That's a good question. Here's why. He can be in the conversation, but this is why he's not going to be like top three. Gretzky, and this is a hair-splitting exercise, right? You're talking about the greatest who ever did it in different sports. So I'm splitting hairs. I admit it. But Wayne Gretzky never won a Stanley Cup once he left Edmonton. And he played on some good teams. You know, I got into it with someone on Twitter the other day about this. 40 wins before shootouts, like when there were ties, if you won more than 40 games, you were probably losing like less than half of that. So you were winning more than twice as much as you were losing. That's a good team. He played on several of those in LA. And then even when he got to the Rangers later, he joined a team that had won over 40 games the year before. They did a little bit less the next year. And I know he was toward the end, but he never won a Stanley Cup outside of Edmonton. Messier did. Gretzky didn't. And I know it's so, okay, but there are other circumstances. But I'm splitting hairs, but that's what this exercise is. You're comparing Gretzky, not just to other hockey players, to Michael Jordan. He fails in comparison to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was clearly a greater basketball player than Gretzky was a hockey player. Clearly. And Gretzky was amazing. By the way, the Bucks lost their fifth straight. Listen to Giannis, Milwaukee Bucks franchise player, on the fifth straight loss at the postgame presser.
I'm not frustrated. It's part of it. You know, we're learning. We're trying to get better. I like facing adversity. I like being down, being knocked down, you know, because that's the only way you improve.
Look, Budenholzer didn't have a superstar when he coached in Atlanta. He won 60 games and got, you know, run out of the playoffs. And it happened with the Bucks, even with a superstar, right? Because Giannis looks sort of like he's dressed up like a wing, but he's really a big with good handles. And as I keep saying, every great big ever, like if you really want to win championships, you need another guy who's on your team who's as great as you are but ain't a big. Well, what about Olajuwon? The second time Olajuwon, when he had other great players. The first time, Jordan was retired. So he went up against Ewing, another big without another great player on the team. But the point is, Shaq needed Kobe and Wade in their primes. Even a prime Penny wasn't good enough. Kareem needed Oscar Robertson and later Magic Johnson in their primes. Otherwise, he has no championships. Bigs need a crime partner who can go get their own shot and playmake and all that stuff. And the Raptors have Drew Holiday. Is that a good enough crime partner? Like, Drew Holiday was with AD. They didn't get it done. Didn't come close. But he does have Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday's been out during most of this losing streak. That's a big deal. But also, I think Budenholzer realizes he has to try something different. It hasn't been working well enough in the playoffs. So give him credit. He's trying something different. They're learning how to switch on defense. They're not funneling everyone to the bigs, to Giannis and Brooke Lopez. They're trying new stuff. They're not having Giannis initiate the offense every time. Got to give Budenholzer credit. He's using the regular season to try to figure out if there's another way to do this, given the personnel he has. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Coming up, the Lakers have lost 2 of 3. Anthony Davis is out at least 4 weeks. Is it time to panic? That's next, the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. If the Heat, well, it's the Heat Lakers tomorrow night on ABC right here on ESPN Radio. And I think that LeBron James will get in the zone. Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. I mean, LeBron's got no choice. He's got to carry the team now. And he's going to figure out who can do what and who he can rely on. And guys are going to have extra responsibilities. And what can't happen is that KCP and Wes Matthews and all these guys go that cold. And if it's because they're getting extra defensive attention, LeBron's going to have to figure that out too. He's got 4 weeks at least, I think, without AD to figure out what this team can do. And then hopefully, you know, knock wood, AD comes back and the team is better for the experience. Because otherwise, Kuzma and all these guys wouldn't have been at the same level of responsibility. It could be not a blessing in disguise, but there could be a silver lining here. Here's Frank Vogel at the post-game presser, the Lakers head coach, of course, at the press conference, giving an update on AD's status.
You know, just confirmed a calf strain. He's going to be out for 4 weeks. We want to try to put this fully behind him. You know, be conservative with it just to make sure that it's fully healed before he's back.
4 weeks, I mean, if they say four, give him eight. Give him six at least. Don't play around with an Achilles. Just don't do it. Richard in Manhattan, what do you got for me today? Richard. Mitch in New Jersey. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, good show. Let me see one thing about Oklahoma. I don't think there's been a team that's ever broken up, give trade, let go of three Hall of Famers, and they're all Hall of Famers, including Westbrook. Clippers, they're deep. They were missing four starters, and you saw how they took care of Miami. I say they still should go after either Drummond or Blake Griffin just for spite, because I bet you the Lakers are looking to those two players.
I don't know what Blake has to offer right now. Blake hasn't dunked since 2019. He shoots a lot now, but not very well. What does Blake give you? He's not built like a defender, you know. He doesn't have those like long arms. That was always a problem. What does Blake give you right now that you need to pick him up? A body, all right. Drummond is an interesting case, but you got to make sure that Drummond is the right fit. You know, he's going to take up some space in the middle. You know, Drummond is interesting. If Drummond would accept the role, it'd be interesting. But also, he has an enormous contract. How do you even match up the money? Charles in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Simone Biles deserves any GOAT top five list. She's the most decorated gymnast of all time. Could build on that in this Olympics. She deserves any GOAT top five.
Okay, maybe. I don't know enough about gymnastics to talk about it, really. I mean, maybe that might be the case. Gymnastics is, I had a brother who was a gymnast in high school, was captain of his team, and they won the cities and everything. And I'm not discrediting gymnastics. It's just that you're competing. There's like a subjectivity to it that's unavoidable. You're competing against like an ideal. There's nothing, no one's playing defense on you. It's not that it's not athletic. Obviously it is. It's very competitive. I get it. But to judge it alongside other sports is difficult because there's a fundamental difference to it. And by the way, I realize I'm a boxing guy, right? Like boxing is somewhat subjective, but there is an opponent trying to stop you from achieving what you're trying to achieve. And in gymnastics, it's really just, there's a measure of just subjectivity judging one soloist against another. But the truth is, I don't know enough about it to tell you where Simone Biles should rank in the GOAT of all GOATs competition. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's going on, Max? Thanks for taking the call. Listen, the Nets have to be a favorite for the championship, and it goes beyond the talent they have on the court or on the bench. It's because for the first time in his career, Kyrie Irving has a vested interest in doing the right things. That being, if he decides to go off the reservation, Kyrie knows full well this Brooklyn Nets team is going to be successful with or without him. So I think that's going to keep him in the right way that he needs to be. James Harden obviously has something to prove and win a championship. And Kevin Durant needs to win as an alpha male. So because of the legacy issues for the Brooklyn Nets, that to keep all their three players in line, I think they have to be considered favorites.
I agree with some of what you say. I don't think Kevin Durant has to win as an alpha. I haven't seen him as that kind of personality, really. Kevin Durant is just so extraordinarily excellent that he makes any team ever better with his presence. There's never a team with any chemistry issue, ball handler, doesn't matter what, redundancy at a position where if you added Kevin Durant, they wouldn't get better. That's a complimentary piece. It's a super duper nuclear complimentary piece, but that's what it is. Harden's the guy running the offense. And Kyrie, I don't also agree that Kyrie knows they'll be successful without him. To a point, yes, but they ain't going to beat the Lakers with Harden and KD without Kyrie. They need all three of those guys and their role players, and they need to play defense. And the crazy thing about it is they must understand the three of those guys, and also Joe Harris shooting and everything, they're going to be the greatest offense in the history of basketball by the end of this year. And it's not going to be by a little bit. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. I was going to say I'll see you tomorrow, but I won't see you till Monday, or you won't hear me till Monday.
Thanks for listening to The Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.